This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour, Mike Hawson. It's a Tuesday, but you gotta love college football on a Tuesday, and we've got it. Right now, second quarter, 9:18 to play. The Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns are beating Appalachian State, the Mountaineers, 20-3. Again, 9:18 to play, second quarter, college football on a Tuesday. I love it. Joining us now is a former New Orleans Saints wide receiver, played with Dallas, played with Baltimore, Kansas City, 4 years, 9-year veteran, played with New Orleans back in 06, 07, and part of 08, and that is Terrence Copper, who joins us. Terrence, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Where are you? I'm always curious as to where people are calling from and where they're hailing these days.
I am in North Carolina.
Still around? I know you went to ECU. What part of Carolina? Washington?
Yeah, right in Greenville, North Carolina. Yeah. Right where East Carolina is located.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I went to James Madison University. So we're big time foes of ECU. We played them a bunch when I was going through the years. So, and my dad lives in North Carolina in the Raleigh area. So it's a beautiful state.
Okay, I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So give me a. I don't know why I've started every sentence with "give me a sense," but you were playing in Dallas in 04 and 05. Sean Payton was an assistant there. Did you have much interaction? Now, I think he was probably doing more quarterbacks, but did you have much interaction with him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, he was more the offensive coordinator, kind of quarterback coach, but I definitely had a lot of interaction with him, definitely.
Did he have an influence as to how you landed here in 06?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was the reason why that's how I got there, honestly. Once he left Dallas, he went to New Orleans, and after training camp was over in 06, that's when he picked me up and brought me to New Orleans with him.
Had you been here before?
I haven't. I've never played New Orleans at all, but once I got there, I loved the city. I loved the team. It was just an amazing time when I was there.
Because you came at a very challenging time. You were signed September 3rd of 06. You were signed right before – they signed you off of waivers right before the season. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, post-Katrina, no preseason, you know, games at home, and your first two on the road. Do you remember, kind of think back to some of the challenges that this area was going through? Like, what am I doing here? Where am I going? What's going on?
You know what? Once I got to training camp, the first thing I remember about training camp, we was in Mississippi. It was hot. That's the first thing I remember when I got to training camp. I was like, oh, my goodness. I don't know. Matter of fact, it wasn't training camp. We had just got to New Orleans, and it was so humid. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'm even going to make this team. They're going to cut me after this first day because I had no energy. I wasn't used to that type of humidity down there. Even though we was in Dallas, but Dallas had an indoor facility. But when I got to New Orleans, we was practicing outside, even though we had an indoor facility. But that was the first thing I remember once I got there. But once I actually got to the city and actually got a chance to meet some people in the city, even though we was going through what was going through with post-Katrina, it was just amazing atmosphere. Like, the people, I love the people in New Orleans. To this day, that's my favorite city to go to. But I just remember, of course, the challenges we had to go through, but I just remember the people. That's what stood out to me the most, the people of New Orleans.
Well, football is not just part of the community, it's part of their souls. And you saw that, and you were part of it when they opened the Superdome back in September of 06 and that Falcons game. And you can talk to many people who live here still, and the hair will raise up on their arms. That must have been, because for you and really all the players, like even Reggie Bush and all the draft class that year, they'd never, ever played a game in the Superdome because of the preseason being away. So that's not just a game. That's their first experience, like yours, I imagine, since you hadn't played there in Dallas. Your first experience of New Orleans Saints football is that game.
Yes. And one thing I remember the most about that game, of course, was the energy. But I remember grown men boo-hoo crying because of everything that was going on. You had people that lost their lives in the Superdome during the Katrina time. You know, so it was very emotional. And that's the one thing I remember, just the emotions that was going on, the electricity in the stadium once we kicked off. And then once Gleason got the blocked punt, it was over for me. It was over.
You weren't on any special. Were you on the sidelines? You weren't on any special teams at that point, were you?
No, I was on special teams. I was actually trying to get to that punt, but Deloach got to it before I got to it.
Wow. So, where were you in the alignment? Because Gleason's, if you're on the defense, he kind of stunts from the right up the middle. Where were you?
Mm-hmm. I was on the left side, so if you're looking at the punter, I was on the left side.
Yeah,
on the New Orleans left. And once Gleason blocked it, me and Deloach was in a race trying to get to it, and Deloach got there before I did.
And so he's the trivia answer instead of Terrence Copper, right?
Because exactly.
I mean, that's what it is. It's Brian Milne who recovered the Rams fumble. It's Deloach who recovered it for the touchdown. I mean, just that's amazing. I apologize. I'm embarrassed for. I was at the game. I was in the stands, but I should have known that. But is there? Can you remember? Because coaches will always say that there's not the coaches that win and have this happen to them, that there's no greater sound than boom. Boom! When you block that punt, and you can hear it, and I can imagine you could hear that, bump. But after that, you must have heard nothing.
Nothing. The crowd went crazy. The sidelines went crazy. You know, we just jumping up all over the place. The fans went crazy. It was just an amazing moment. I definitely remember that like it was yesterday. Once you hear that double thump. The first thump come from the punter kicking it, and the second thump come from Gleason blocking it. You know, so that was an amazing time.
It was kind of a weird thing because as you look back at that series, Michael Vick was a quarterback. He almost threw a pick. He fumbled, but the ball went out of bounds. There were so many things that almost prevented that punt from happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then secondly, it's like that was in the first quarter, but the game was over. Right? You could almost, on the field, could you feel the air getting sucked out of the Falcons? Like, dude, the game's over. You know, good
Definitely.
Luck. Play well, but the game's over.
Definitely. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Even I knew a couple of guys that played for the Falcons, and after that game, they said they knew they really had no chance. They knew it. They said they was walking into a lion's den, and they knew what the atmosphere was going to be like. They knew going into the game that, you know, we don't have a chance to beat these guys. And especially once we got the blocked punt, it was over from then.
Yeah. Well, that was, huge win. Really, people forget you played the first two games on the road, one in Cleveland, and came back and huge win in Green Bay. So that made you 3-0. So that's the first Falcons game. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the second Falcons game in 2006 as you played a significant role in that. We are here and talking with former Saints and NFL receiver Terrence Copper after a short timeout here on the New Orleans Saints. Copper. Tell me about the play. I watched the video today, and it looks like it's video from the 1920s. I go, 2006 was not that long ago. This video should look better. Amazing play. It ends up putting the Saints up 21-6 at the break and really was a dagger for the Falcons. Tell me about that play.
Breeze honestly threw the perfect ball. I didn't have to really jump up to get it tipped or anything like that to get it off a tip. It honestly came directly into my hands like it was just me and Drew Brees throwing. But the biggest thing I remember about that play, that was my first touchdown scoring with the Saints. So once I catch it, I get up and try to spike it, and Reggie Bush jumps on my back and messed my spike up. You know, that was the biggest thing I remember from that play, of course, from the celebration. Of course, we celebrated the finish later, but I missed the part about when Reggie Bush, he jumped on my back and messed my spike up.
It's the things we remember, huh? It's the things we remember.
It's
so I'm looking at the play, And it's so odd because initially I thought they ruled Callaway a 48-yarder, which would have been identical, but they're saying that in the book it was 49. So the setup is trips right, but you're on the short side of the field, so you're part of the trips. You're part of the three wide receivers, and there's one to the left. And this formation on against Washington, same exact thing. Short side of the field, trips right, but Callaway is left. And it's all, when I say the similarities between the two, is almost the same in that Drew threw it perfect. You didn't have to go up, catch it with your hands at its peak. Mm-mm. I won't say that Atlanta did a phenomenal job of defending it, and I won't say Washington did a phenomenal job of defending it. They're just unique plays. You must have almost felt like, is this thing just going to fall right in my lap? Because it did.
And that's exactly what it did. But what a lot of people don't know is that Hail Marys are designed. So it's not like we're just throwing it up down the field, just go try to catch it. Everybody have a place they have to be in. So you got one guy that's the jumper, and then everybody else forms a box around him. So if it gets tipped to the left or to the right or to the back, we have somebody in place to make the play. So we're not just running down the field just to try to catch a ball. We're going down the field. We got certain positions we have to get in. You know, so it's really formatted when it comes to catching a Hail Mary.
Do you think, and I really, somebody, we talked about this at the game with Washington, is that you don't see it often, pass interference. It's almost like they just kind of, well, they're all going for it. You rarely now, the Saints were actually called, I'm talking about 40 years ago, were called for a pass interference on a Big Ben against Atlanta, you know, after the initial Big Ben. So it does happen, but it doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, not often. And if it is, it got to be very obvious that that's what happened, that it was a pass interference. Like, it got to be to the point where somebody actually tackled somebody in the end zone before the ball even comes down. But like I said, they usually don't call that at all.
How often is that? Because I've been to practices. There's so many things you try to do. Like, how often do you get a chance to practice that? And do you switch roles? Are you sometimes the box guy, or in 06, were you always the receiving guy?
You know, so we practice that every week. Every week, whether it may be on a Saturday walkthrough or it might be a Friday, once 2 minutes is over with. So every week we practice it. You will have the first time we'll go through it, the offense is the one that's catching the ball. And then the second time we go through it, we're working with the defense, teaching them how to play against a Hail Mary pass. So they're just batting it down. So we go through that every week. And for me, because I had to know every position on the field when it comes to receivers, I could be at any position. Usually the coaches will have Marcus Coastin being the jump guy. But just so happened, the one that I called, I was jumping. Just so happened. But usually I could be at any of those positions. Any of those guys could be at any of those positions because everybody know exactly what we're doing regardless of the position you're playing.
9-year career, you're living in Greenville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Tell me what idles your time? What are you doing? What keeps you busy?
So I co-host two podcasts. One of them is the War Room and East Carolina podcast, and another one is a Saints podcast. It's Believe in Saints. So that's another podcast that I do. And also, I own a sports academy here in Winterville, North Carolina. It's called the Premier Sports Academy, where we train kids from 6 on up to the pros in basketball and football, speed and agility, strength training. We have basketball leagues, 7-on-7 leagues. So that's right here in Winterville.
The ability to kind of have that Saints podcast, I know you would stay, you know, interested and be connected to this franchise because you've already talked about your connectivity to this region and this city. But it does, having that podcast keeps you kind of a part of it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It keeps me talking about the Saints. I love watching those guys play. Like I say, when you're down there, when you play with Coach Payton, you know, it's a family environment, you know, not just in the community, but also within that team. That team is, I know the team that I played on 06, 07, 08, we was so close-knit. Everybody, it just felt like family, you know, and to this day, like I said, New Orleans was my favorite place to play.
Coach Payton always referred, or I should say always, but this year referred back to that team, the 06 team, and compared it a lot to this team, only because of the unknown. You just didn't know. We didn't know Marcus Colston was going to be who Marcus Colston was. We didn't know a lot of those people. So you had this group of a lot of new names, and same with 2021, a lot of group with a lot of new names. And so it's the same kind of feeling, right?
No, definitely. And then we come even down to the quarterbacks. Drew Brees is just coming off an injury, so you really didn't know how Drew Brees was going to play in 06 because he just came off the arm surgery. So he was just getting there as well. And like I said, with Marcus Colston, you didn't know a seventh-round draft pick was going to end up being Marcus Colston,
right.
The Marcus Colston that we all know now. You know, so it was a lot of what-ifs. It was a lot of what-ifs.
Yeah, well, you lifted a city. You lifted a state that year. It's been nice talking to you. Appreciate your time. Best of luck to East Carolina, unless they're playing James Madison, and continued success moving forward.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
All right, Terrence Copper, former New Orleans Saints wide receiver. I want to thank for joining us this Saints Hour tonight. Jeff Ireland, the Saints Vice President and Assistant General Manager of College Personnel. They are very busy despite being an open week. Thanks to my booth engineer and good friend Scott Alexander. I'm Mike Haas. Thanks for listening. Good night, Hoodettes, and have a great open week for everyone here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.